One, we're rolling. Hey, what's good, everybody? I haven't seen you guys in a while, man. Like, man, I don't think I've had a interlude interviews in a long ass time. I believe this is the 7th edition, but this is off of Naoto's interlude. What it do? Salute. How's it going? I got a very special guest with me today. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Tom from Grimy MTL.
Tom from Grimy.
Yeah, just Grimy. Hey,
Grimy MTL, repping MTL, but also 100%. He's about to take it global. So what do we have here behind the camera? Who's behind?
Oh, the mystery behind magic the, man.
Yeah, exactly. Behind the third mic.
Loud and clear.
The coveted third mic. What's good?
It's good. I'm just going to be your little audio technical guy. And, get you some whatever you guys need up on the screen.
We got a whole screen man. Oh, yeah. The whole production's leveling up.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty impressed by this whole setup.
it's weird. I did not think that it would turn out like this, but you know what I mean? Like, I'll pretend that it was planned.
Podcast is coming up.
Exactly. We're leveling up only. You know what I'm saying? Hell so yeah, man. Damn. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you been working on?
Lately. So we have like a new capsule coming out called Stay Away.
Yeah. Actually, before we get into that, let's, you know, for anybody that doesn't know about Grimy, let me know what the brand is exactly for the people that are out there. We're going to have product shots. As you can see, this guy is wearing a dope ass t-shirt, Grimy tee. You already know. Yeah. But yeah, let me know what your brand's all about, what the ethos is, and DNA and how it started.
I mean, I guess it has transformed a lot through from the beginning to where it's at now. Mm-hmm. But the main mentality is just, it's a hard question, bro. It's a loaded question.
Absolutely.
But I'll explain how we started. Basically, it was me and like a group of friends who were all in bands.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, we had this little underground scene going on,
mm-hmm.
very specifically with a bar called Crowbar.
Yeah.
Which kind of doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. And it's like its own story.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out Crowbar, seriously. But basically, there was a bunch of talent all pulled together. We were all super young.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like, hey, we should kind of try stepping this up and leveling it up.
Yeah.
So I kind of built the collective and then like founded Grimy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot of shows. We had an initial t-shirt, which was like the Barney guy with the Grimy MTL on top.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just kind of like doing a lot of that. Like our second show, our third show was Robfest.
Right.
So that was like the owner of Crowbar.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just been like a lot of evolution throughout. And I don't know what Grimy is. It's just, it's a brand for everybody.
For sure, you know for sure. I mean? Yeah. For and what kind of band, what kind of band was this that you were in?
My personal band was called Depwine.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is this tattoo right here.
Oh, okay, okay. Depwine.
Yeah, and in Montreal, like for people who are not from here, like that's what everybody drinks, or more or less.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's what you start off drinking. You can't afford better wine.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you don't know better wine.
A Dep is basically like a corner store. So like it's like bodega corner store wine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know.
The cheap stuff.
It's pretty big here. Everyone has a bottle of something around.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Water, all the time.
Wallaroo?
Yeah, Wallaroo Trail.
Wallaroo Trail.
That was the classic iconic one.
Yeah, yeah. With the kangaroo and everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Damn, Depwine. And what kind of music did you guys make? Was it like mostly like punk music?
Like, we like called ourselves Doom Punk.
Yeah.
So
cool,
it was like
cool.
And I feel this to be true for a lot of the Montreal bands, artists, whatever. Yeah. It's like this doomy, kind of gloomy esque feeling.
Right. Right.
But paired with like high energy.
Right.
You know? So that was a lot what Depwine was doing. But I also feel that for a lot of the bands that are like currently doing stuff.
For sure, for sure.
And a lot of the artists doing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like the thing that I've noticed with Grimy is that it just has this rebellious energy behind it, you know? And I think what's like great about the brand is that it seems like you guys are constantly trying to knock down doors and figure out, okay, how can we make this bigger and how can we really connect with this? Because, you know, while you do say that the brand is for everybody, it seems like it just has a certain specific energy behind it.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it's like,
I wouldn't know if it's like rebellious, but yeah, what do you think about
that? No, I mean, there's definitely a sense of rebellion because I mean, it's just like the age and what was going on and just the mentality of a lot of people yeah. or in the surroundings just felt that way, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like very naturally. And the, just the community and collective aspect, like that's why I say it's for everybody, because maybe it's not for everybody's like taste,
right?
But everyone can be a part of it if they wanted to, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's a very inclusive
100%.
Brand. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I love about it, man, because like it's wild.
I mean, I don't want to interrupt too much, but I've been to some of the shows and stuff like that, and there's always like an eclectic mix of people.
Yeah,
like,
huge mix, always, which I love that. Yeah, you know absolutely. What I mean? I don't want it to be, just be punks and just hip hop.
And I like that you guys
it's a good mix.
Like moved into like hip hop and everything.
For
and
sure,
like
because that. For me it was the same mentality, so it was just inevitable.
Absolutely. And what would that mentality be? Just kind of like breaking the mold and like...
Yeah, just really doing your own thing, truly like not caring, you know
for
what
sure,
I mean?
For
like
sure.
doing it for you, and it's hard, you know what I mean? Navigating your own path, basically, you know? DIY, we have a lot of a DIY mentality.
Absolutely.
Everything has been done like in-house. Like I used to have a few people help me out, but it's been me for a good little while now. But everything is done by us, you know what I mean?
For
and friends and people who are in the collective help out. It's very like community oriented.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes the brand so strong, is that the people that are a part of it really are a part of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, for sure.
I wanted to ask you this: what are the shows like?
The shows are dope.
Yeah. What kind of? So you guys mentioned you guys like play like punk and hip hop music.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting mix.
Yeah.
Of music, but I'm guessing it's like very high energy.
High energy, like. Good live music, you know what I mean? Like you walk into the show and there's, you know, there's an energy around the people, around the performance, you know. But
what
obviously,
was the last live show?
I was just gonna say because of Corona,
it's
we haven't been able to do any shows.
Okay, so it's been a consistent like thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because we start the first thing that Grammy did was a show, and we dropped a T-shirt at that show.
Right.
So those two things have been kind of the essence of Grammy.
I mean that makes sense. I think that's where. You know, a lot of, okay, I'm going to talk mad shit. You don't have to say anything. I'm going to talk mad shit. But I think this is where a lot of, you know, organizers events, they kind of fuck up, or people that have clothing brands, because they kind of just put each thing out there individually.
Mm.
And then, you know, it's like you're not using the synergy of multiple things.
True.
To like really connect with people, because... I mean, I know mad people that are just like dropping a T-shirt and then just hoping that it catches on in the wind.
Yeah, 100%.
But
honestly, it's a pretty frustrating process sometimes.
I'm sure.
Because
I'm sure.
Like, I love doing the T-shirts. It's probably like the funnest part, designing stuff and putting out like something that you feel passionately about.
For sure.
But it's tough, man. Like, I don't know. It's, I just see like the T-shirt as like a canvas, right?
Yeah.
I know it sounds cheesy, but it's true. Like,
that
is the current thing that we're putting our art on, and that's what everyone can have access to, you know, and it enforces the community mentality because everyone can physically, tangibly have it.
Absolutely.
And
what I was saying, what you were saying before, like having buying a shirt at a show, I'd much rather buy a shirt at a show or at kind of like a place where I can get a drink and chill and hang out like you did with the last drop. And like then I don't want to wait in line at a store. Like, you know what I mean?
Like also right now, another thing, it's like, I find that most T-shirt designs for that are just most like, I mean, like I wouldn't call it merch. It's like, just most T-shirt designs are like the brand logo right here.
Yeah.
And that's
sure.
it. That's
I mean,
it.
There's not that many good designs out there. There's a lot of repetitions,
Absolutely. And I mean, it's hard, right? Because it's like, again, if you try to dip into multiple disciplines,
right.
Like you might just, you know, you might not focus too hard on one.
Right.
And then you might just be like, whatever, we need to put something out there, and you'll just do it to put something out there.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to what you said earlier about how you view your shirts as sort of like a canvas, I think we were having this type of conversation too when, For me, I was like, I was talking about streetwear, and then you're like, no, actually, I view my like the piece articles of clothing I create as art.
Yeah.
Now, how important for you is it to hold it up in that way? And you know, I'm gonna add a comment to it afterwards, but I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm like, how important it is for me to view it as art?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very important because I just naturally view it as art. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, if we were to just put our logo onto everything and bang out a bunch of products, I mean, the most similar thing to that would be our Essentials collection, which we did last December.
Yeah.
And people loved it. You know what I mean? Because up until then, all of our stuff was weird designs, weird pieces of art on t-shirts and shows. You know what I mean? All that stuff we've been talking about.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's very important for me. I do see it as genuine pieces of art, like every piece we put out.
I'm guessing this is sort of like an attitude that you've had towards clothing for a while, right?
100%.
Right.
Yeah. Like, before having a brand or whatever.
Were you hesitant to do the Essentials collection with just the logos?
Well, at first I had a much more detailed set of designs, and I had a few of the Essentials things as part of it.
Right.
But basically the designs I'm bringing into the new Stay Away capsule, which is dropping soon, and I kept the Essentials to just Essentials, and people loved it, and I loved it, actually.
It was super clean. It was the most, like, fully put together, I felt.
I mean, after I physically produced them and I was putting them on, whatever, you realize how awesome it
clicks,
is. You
know?
Right.
Why were you sort of, like, it seems like you're a little bit apprehensive towards it
for
in the beginning.
Yeah. Because I don't want to, I really never want to do basic stuff with Grimy. I always want to, you know, think about how we could just do something a little bit differently, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, no, that makes sense. But yeah, like that's really, and I mean, that's just like sort of like a testament to how strong the brand, the like the design of the branding, just like the basic branding is.
For sure.
And
it was good because we put out like our core colors, like purple and green, you know, with the first sticker we put out. So it was, I know, it was like you were reminiscing upon everything once you see the designs like printed and stuff.
That's cool.
You know, it was cool, yeah.
How does it feel to see people just around the world, not just in the city, but around the world wearing your designs?
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, for
sure. I mean, it's like...
I don't know if I told you this, but I was at the canal, and I saw this chick rocking the Missing Milk shirt.
Yeah, I mean...
And I had no idea who she was. It was the first time I saw never seen this person before in my
life. To be, like, 100% honest, it shocks me. Like, I'll drive around, and I'll see someone in a Grimy shirt, and I'm like, oh, that's... I don't know this person. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it just gives you motivation. That's it.
No, for sure,
It's like a positive motivator. That's it.
Yeah, no, I do feel that. I mean, look, when I was at Catra, I remember just walking around and just seeing a bunch of people with like Grimy design. I'm just like, wow,
that's dope.
This is,
I love that.
Cool. The Catra show?
Yeah, just like people
in Vancouver,
just here.
Yeah, no, and especially lately, I've noticed it a lot more too. You know, you walk down, there's like like for me, it's interesting when it's people I really don't even know.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Because we sell online, so like there's a chance that
there's
like a little bridge, right? Where if I'm not selling it to you in person or at a pop-up or something like that, I don't really know who you are.
You also don't seem like the kind of person that would go up to somebody wearing your design being like, hey, by the way, I made this.
Yeah, no, no, I don't care.
That would be mad weird.
Want me to
but you're
sign
like,
it?
No.
You're,
can
you're
I swear,
way,
by the way?
So
you can swear. You
okay.
Can swear.
That's so antithetical, though, to like who you are.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. That would be so lame.
So can we talk about something?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I don't like sometimes. Uh-huh. I don't want to be like overly hateful, but
about
the fashion industry, it's very egotistical, and there's a lot of ego in it, you know?
Definitely.
As like... whatever, if Grimy is hype, whatever, I don't want it to be ego-based. I still want it to be based in genuine thought and genuine creation, you know what I mean?
Because I think once it becomes ego-based, that's when you've lost the identity of it.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, I think, you know, it's... a lot of people talk about, like, oh, Supreme was a skateboarding brand in the beginning, but it's like, when you look at the word Supreme, it's just so... just ridiculous and so like maximal, like it's, I think that part of it, like the ridiculous collaborations and all that all throughout the decades, I think that's just always been a part of that brand
for sure
the whole time,
for
you know?
Sure.
And it was just like that brand, for example, is very and has always been ego based. I think like the first thing that ended up popping off for that brand was like, I think it was like the Raekwon shirt, I think. Or
I remember that.
Yeah, like, or like the Wu-Tang shirt, like where it's just, they're just wearing like a shirt that just says Supreme. Like that, when you think about the idea of that shirt, like that's just all ego. You're just advertising people wearing the basic shirt.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's
But at
it's
the
wild,
same time, I must say, I respect Supreme.
I do too.
You know, and I like some of their designs. Yeah. We were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
And like he informed me that it's like 50% of their company was bought out by somebody else. I didn't know that.
Yeah. By a venture capitalist.
But I mean, that's recent. They've been doing stuff since 1994.
Yeah. Yeah.
They kind of paved a lot of the way, and I have respect for that, you know?
Yeah. I was just kind of saying like how I feel like they're slightly falling off because since then, I don't know. Like I feel like
My take on it would be like they didn't fall off. They hit a plateau and they've kind of stayed at that plateau.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna go. They've hit it. You know what I mean? Like
what did you think about the My Bloody Valentine shirts?
Oh, I thought those were pretty cool. Yeah, actually,
like my brother really like
I love that album. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like that band. So
my brother's like not even into Supreme, and then he was like, I just really want like this is cool like band merch.
Yeah. You know? My buddy copped some of it. It's actually cool. It's a good, good t-shirt.
Just bring it back to Grammy for a second.
Yeah.
I never knew. How did the sticker competition come about?
Oh, so that was just, it was the first year we started it.
Mm-hmm.
We were just like trying to find good ways to, I don't know, I guess promote the brand and have more inclusivity so that anyone could submit.
Right.
And we were getting like a few international submissions, but all mostly Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just people like anyone could submit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone could win. Once you win, we print like, I think at the time it was like 1,000 your stickers. Yeah. Now it's probably more.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get like a bunch of stickers. You get like a free piece of merch, free show entries for a year. And it's just like, I don't know, trying to build the community a little bit more. You know what I mean? And,
and for
forcing
sure.
that mentality through a competition.
No, I thought it was great. That was one of your better kind of, I don't know if you want to call it an initiative, but that's definitely what you're
about. Yeah, that was a good idea. It was cool.
I was going to use for that. But
yeah.
how many submissions you get the first time around? Like,
I forget. Maybe like, it was pretty low. Like 20, 25 submissions.
Yeah,
maybe,
And then like now it's just like every year it just keeps growing.
It keeps growing, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And we have, I'm still designing. So like they submit a character ideally, and then we kind of work it a little bit.
For sure,
a bit of our grimy stuff.
For sure.
And we both agree on what is going to be good, you know?
Yeah, definitely. No, that's really awesome that you have that collaborative aspect going. You
yeah,
know?
100%. I love collaborating. Yeah, I mean,
for sure.
With like-minded people, it's the best. It's one of the funnest parts of the
exactly.
job.
But would you do a, what if Louis Vuitton like came up to you tomorrow and they're like, yo, could we run a collaboration with Grimy?
If Louis Vuitton came to my door tomorrow, it would have to, okay.
That would probably be tricky, right?
I would probably say yes.
Yeah.
But it would have to be, like, we'd have to have a lot of control over
definitely,
what gets put
definitely.
Out, you know?
Because I think at that point, they'd probably try and be like, no, we need, like, 90%.
And I don't think that'll ever happen because they did it with Supreme, whatever. That's
exactly.
The iconic little thing, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's them dipping their feet into streetwear.
Sure,
saying like,
sure.
"Hey, we're modern, we're hip," and
definitely.
Then I don't know if they're gonna do that shit again.
Definitely, yeah. I don't think they will for a very, very long time.
But it'd be funny. I mean, that'd be hilarious. The grimy logo with the Louis Vuitton pattern inside.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh man. Okay. Pat has your site on the screen, and that just kind of reminded me. You got Trippy Red to wear. Man, how did three times? Yeah, three goddamn times.
Yeah, that was fun.
How did that feel? You know what I mean?
That one was a little shock.
And how'd that come about?
So I won't give too many details, but
for sure.
It was, the funnest part about it was that it came out really naturally.
Right.
And everyone who's worn our stuff
were
on a slightly higher caliber in the States, whatever.
Right.
It's always come out like very naturally. Like somebody that I know just gives them a shirt.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you like this? And they're like, yeah. And they end up wearing it on stage. Where they posted on their Instagram, like with Trippy.
Man, that's awesome.
So I gave it to a buddy. He gave it to him who was seeing him live, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he took the whole pack. He wore it three different times, posted it on his Instagram. That was pretty cool.
Man, that's awesome. That's really cool that he like, you know, he gravitated towards it. Like, and that must be like a really great indicator of, you know, how well just the brand's been going so far.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Because it's all about building momentum.
And what's cool is that it's artists I actually respect. Like, I like Trippy Red. You
know? Absolutely.
Like,
and
my little brother listens to him. My little brother actually put me on to a lot of the new age shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Super cool.
How old's your little brother?
He just turned 19 yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
So happy birthday,
happy
Chris.
Birthday.
Shout
happy
out
birthday,
to you.
Chris.
Shout out,
everybody
shout
go
out.
Shout out Chris.
Yes. Hey, type in the comments, shout out Chris.
Yeah, do it.
But man, like that's really cool. I mean, do you have like do you have anybody else that like shows you music, or how do you find music? Because I find that you have like a pretty like wide array
for sure
of, like, you know, of taste.
I mean, it's developed over the years. I used to listen to a lot of old school punk stuff, yeah. A lot of doomy, sludgy stuff,
right.
You know, which is
right.
What my band was kind of about.
Right.
And then all the new stuff, I was just kind of like blown away, you know, with yeah. like an X and Lil Peep, that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of developed, and now it's just an eclectic mix of shit, you know what I mean? And I guess yeah. people who show me music, still my little brother puts me on to little stuff.
Yeah.
I'm always open to listening to new stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
My roommate, the guys in the 999 show me good shit. My buddy Jordan, who used to be in Grimy, shows me good, like, old school rock, not old school rock shit, but new age old school rock shit. Like, it's hard to describe, you know, but like bands definitely. Like Whores and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for
There's
sure.
There's a lot of cool shit going on, and
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not even the best at finding the new stuff, you know, honestly. So it's great when people yeah. send me stuff and I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's good that you're like receptive towards for you know, sure. new music that like people send to you and everything. I think like, I don't know. I'm finding this more as I'm getting older, but like a lot of people are stuck, like end up getting stuck with their previous states. Like
totally.
I mean like their previous like tastes, not states, but tastes.
Totally.
Like I find that like around 20, 21 is like when people's like, when their music taste sort of matures and then they just stay there the whole time, you know?
True.
Like it's cool to see that you're still like branching out and trying to like,
you gotta because things. Yeah, cause right. I feel like musicians they don't, it's not a conscious thing, but when you're making music you're bringing a mentality to it,
yeah, yeah,
and that mentality transcends genres,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah. it's constantly evolving, and if yeah. you're on the same mentality then you're the same people, you know what I mean?
I find too right now there's just like an anger and like an energy in the world right now that's bleeding into every genre.
Right.
For you know? Sure.
So
right.
like you're getting that kind of like energy.
And it's awesome.
It's great. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's natural. It's a reflection.
I mean,
the
that's a reflection of the times, man. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as it should, right? Like, man, what would we do if music didn't reflect the times in a way, you know what I'm saying? Like
just be noise, bro.
It just be noise. Exactly
fake news
fake music. God, did you see how Kanye was running for president?
Yeah, I saw that this morning actually.
God,
what's his campaign slogan?
We'll see.
I don't fucking know.
I fuck with Kanye, man. It's gotta be tough in his being in his position and having all his mental stuff, but yeah, you know, absolutely. I don't know if running for president's the right move.
I don't think it's the move, especially since he's starting to go and like, you know, get into a positive light 100%. With the public.
Yeah, it's like the most stressful job on earth, yeah. right? Why would you want that for somebody who's prone to stress? Like
exactly,
yeah, that doesn't make
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. A guy that shouted at paparazzi. It's like, you think getting shit at
but
that level's hard?
You know what? On the other hand, if he yeah. wants to do it, if he thinks he could do it, you know, it's a big, like, go for it, man.
Yeah, it just...
It's a weird world. Go for
it. It's a very Kanye-esque move just to run for president. Like, how many months out are we?
Yeah, it's a little election.
Yeah.
Start campaigning.
Instead of, like, campaigning.
It's like he woke up and he's just like, yo... Today, I'm running for president.
That is probably what he did.
100%.
That is probably
had
what
a
he
dream.
Did.
I was president. I woke up, and now I gotta.
Now I gotta be president. Like it's wild. I guess he's probably gonna end up running as an independent. But like,
yeah.
man, it's like God. What a
strange time.
I'm just curious yeah. to see him do it, and I just want to see how many people vote for him.
Yeah.
I want to see how well he does.
Well, who else? Anyway, let's stop talking about U.S. Yeah. politics.
Yeah, let's get off that. Yeah. Hey, we're in Canada, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like,
it's getting Canadian all
Montreal, Montreal, baby. Exactly. Damn. And speaking of Montreal politics, who are some Montreal artists that you're looking out for?
That I'm looking out for in our collective or that I think are doing cool things?
That you think you're doing cool things.
Honestly, well, obviously, everybody in the collective is
killing it. Who are the people in your collective?
Okay, so we have 999.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the more hip-hop-y group. Mm-hmm. Then we have Phenomenon. Mm-hmm. They're like hard to describe, obviously, but like alternative.
Right.
They have a really good sound.
Right.
Then we have Kato. They're very like sludgy,
right.
more hardcore.
Right.
And then we have Ginger. They're like the newest band that's been added. And they're like old school rock. It's
right.
still hard to describe, man. They all have insanely good vibes.
No, I'm sure. Like... God. Like, and everybody gets along in a way.
Everybody
like,
gets along, and we're doing this new thing. Like, oh, actually, yeah, I don't want to announce it yet.
Don't announce it here.
Yeah, hey, but we're gonna solidify a lot of stuff, and it's gonna be really. Sure. We're gonna have a good
Making
new year.
Some big moves.
Yeah. Down the line. Hey, look out for those big moves. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Like. But ooh, that was close. Hey, you're good at your own PR, man. But like, how about any other artists? Well, it doesn't have to be in the city like that you're looking out for right sure. now. Like,
so I'm just gonna repeat it because honestly, 999, Phenomenon, Kato, and fucking Ginger, all dope. And Phenomenal. The visual artists, we have like TBR, this guy from Thailand who made a shirt with us. Cool. We're working out the art section a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely.
But everybody should check those people out. On another note, people have been putting on for the city because Montreal is weird where there's a lot of talent, but we haven't had that platform like a Toronto or like New York or LA or whatever. But the talent is crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have people like a Nate Husser who's fucking been killing it for a long time.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I heard his song recently, even his boy Chris the Spirit, he fucking bumps.
Crazy.
A bunch of crazy shit. Yeah. Like Deuce God from Canada.
Yeah.
All those dudes fucking go hard. Man, in terms of bands, Gasm is another band that goes super hard. But yeah, I think there's a lot of great talent, and I think it's about building up that platform now, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of like, it's really interesting to see, right? Like being from Vancouver, and then coming here, because in my opinion, I'm just like, to me, the way that I look at it, like Montreal definitely has like especially when you compare it to Vancouver, I'm like, wow, like Montreal artists have these like small mid-level platforms that are supported by a good number of people in the city.
Yeah, it's all local.
It's all local. Whereas Vancouver, that's been the struggle.
Right.
But I think the thing with here is that there just needs to be that breakthrough, that
100%.
Like, international.
I think there will be like Husser is gonna break. He's been doing fucking insane shit for a long time.
Yeah, High Classified. Nice.
His videos are great. High Classified does a lot of good numbers.
Crazy,
you know, there's a few key players that do a lot of stuff. Man, there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good shit.
Yeah, he produced a Future song.
Right
there, and exactly. He's done other things. No, he's done other things like.
But like, I mean, there's a lot of key players doing a lot of shit, and it's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
and absolutely. The city has an energy. I mean, people are picking up onto it, and it's genuine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucked stuff that goes on in the city, but there's a lot of genuine key players who are keeping it straight, doing their best to build their own stuff. You know? Right.
And then I think what's the dope part about it is just it just keeps building.
100%.
Every year, and with every new generation that comes in, it just keeps building, and it's like. Man, I'm just super excited for the momentum of this city and, you know, to be a part of it. I mean, how's it been? How's the local support been?
Local support lately has been through the roof, honestly. Like, it feels really good, and it's cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, it's very genuine.
For sure.
Know? But people, it's weird. I think it's like this in every city.
Yeah.
People have, they wait, you know what I mean?
Right.
Until you do something where... You're like, they're like, oh, okay. And then the second thing happens, and the third thing happens, and then they get on your bandwagon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the real people who are just, they see it from the start, and they're just like, yo, this is dope. Let's work. I love that. You know?
Like, absolutely. Absolutely. I find that that's like, man, do you think that's just inherently human nature?
Maybe,
in a way? Like, because I've been noticing that a lot for like content stuff. Because it's like, when I first started making content, some people will be like, oh, yeah, like, I really enjoy this, whatever.
Right.
But then it's just, like, the more that you keep putting out, and especially if, like, people like it, I've been noticing people have been like, oh, yeah, like, I've been noticing that you've been doing this. I really like it. And sometimes it takes, like, the 30th piece of content until somebody that you know 100%. Actually checks it out. It's 100%. It's really weird. And that's why I try, like, anytime, like... Oh, Pat, this camera's about to turn off in like a minute.
Yeah.
If you could switch it. I mean, we could. Yeah. No, let's take a bit of a break.
We're gonna take a break.
Okay, I'm just gonna put on a song and then.
Wait. We'll
are you still filming?
I'm still filming. Yeah.
Hey, and we're
there's
out.
No lighting. There's no lighting. You can't see shit. There you go.
Hey, there we go. And we're out.
Peace.
Man, that was a great, like...
That was... Dude, I stopped.
Go. Hey. And we're back. We're back. Back. After a little break, you know what I'm saying? Sipping on that,
Carones.
That virus. You know? Tis the season. Yeah, shouts cool. out. Mm. Man. But, like... Oh, yeah. Like, one thing that I did want to ask you about. So, earlier, like, you did mention that, you know, on your website, you have this new section for movies, right? Yeah. Like, could you go into a little bit more detail about that?
For sure. Yeah. So, in the collective, we have the musicians, we have the artists, and then we opened up, like, a new little section called movies. There's only one.
Cool.
And it's a short film by Luke Drummond.
Yeah.
And he just became, he's the newest grimy artist.
Yeah, cool.
He doesn't just do movies, like he does a bunch of stuff,
right?
But this is his latest work, and I would recommend everybody check it out. It's 30 minutes, I think. All DIY, he did it himself entirely, took him like a year, if not more. And yeah, it's really cool, and it represents a lot of the youth, grimy culture we have, you know what I mean? More or less, fuck.
Shit. So were you like working with him for a year, pretty much? Or was it kind of like towards the end?
It was towards the end, actually. So he had already wrapped everything up on his own. He put together an event.
Yeah.
We kind of came to the event. I knew him, you know what I mean? He's like a friend of a friend.
Right, right.
And we went to the event, and at that event, we basically solidified it,
Cool. I mean, man, I'm excited to take a look. Like, what's, like, is there like
it's a called crazy... Only Motivated in the Nighttime.
Yeah, Only Motivated in the Nighttime.
Only Motivated in the Nighttime, film by Luke Drummond Dupont.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. That's Yeah, it looks crazy. Like, is there like any like motif or theme that like really resonates with the grimy brand without giving too much away?
You know, honestly, you'd have to ask him. But just when you watch the movie, it gives you the sense of, you know, what we're all about. So that's why he's part of it now.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's really cool. And really the DIY. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's done it all himself. So that's what it's all about.
You were saying he made it like. Wait, like without the intention of being a grimy thing, like
100%. Yeah,
and then it just totally was like a puzzle on his own piece and fit and grimy very
right.
well.
Right, exactly.
I got you.
Then we use our platform to try to, you know,
of course,
lift them up a bit,
elevate it. Yeah. And how's the reception been so far from people that have watched it?
Good, man.
Dude, everyone when it dropped, it was all over the place.
Dude, yeah, the event. He did had a great event. Yeah. I mean, afterwards, people have been watching it. It's a good movie.
I'll give it a watch and like.
Yeah, man, do it.
I'll let y'all know what I think and everything. But to go back to the pre-inception of grimy and everything. I just kind of like what's the thing that to get back to the music, the thing that really sparked that love
for music?
You? Yeah, of music. Like, do you remember that? Did you have like defining moment where you're like, oh, this is it right here.
I would say I had multiple.
Yeah.
So the first one, honestly, would probably be when I was like 9, 10, something like that. I was really into Lil Wayne, like a lot.
Yeah.
And like whatever the fuck was going on at that time with music.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure everyone was.
Yeah.
And like I went to a Lil Wayne concert in grade 6 with my buddy.
Oh, no way.
And his like 2 older sisters. And it was just a fun time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think I wore like 7 hoodies. You know what I mean? Like it was just a fucking good time.
Was there like an age restriction there or something?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember anymore. I was 12.
Definitely. Oh,
but I would say, hip hop was the first thing that like that motivated me. Yeah. But I was. You know, you kind of feel like an outsider sometimes. Definitely. You know what I mean? It's hard to feel attached to it, but I always had a love for the music.
Right, right.
Then I'd say, like, my second revelation would be, like, 15, 16.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really dove into, like, punk culture
and
all that. Right. Just, it really fit me.
Yeah.
And what I was going through at the time as well.
Definitely, yeah.
And it helped me. So, like, that identity, just that community aspect, it goes into grimy, but it just it helped me personally a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
And that kind of seems like something that you want to carry into grimy, you know what I mean? Like
100%.
Or for that like 15, 16 year old. I mean, they don't have to be that young, but like for anybody that's kind of feeling like they just need that communal support.
Totally. I think I've actually said this word for word on another podcast where it's like grimy is for that kid who's like however old, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, kind of lost, feeling angry, feeling sad, whatever, just feeling something, happy, like whatever. And they want to feel a part of something bigger than themselves and kind of escape for a sec.
Yeah.
You know, I want grimy to be that for those kids.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like, was there a song during that like punk phase and that hip hop phase that like you were just like, oh shit.
I'm like a diehard Black Flag fan.
Yeah.
Like, I have it tatted right
here. Yeah.
But Black Flag, Black Sabbath, and Nirvana were the three bands that like at the time was shaping my identity.
For sure. Man, that's really, really dope.
Yeah, like, because Black Sabbath is like the beginning of heavy metal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Old school, late 60s, 70s shit.
Yeah.
And then you have Black Flag, which is like aggression in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then you have 90s, which is like Nirvana, that whole grunge movement. Sure, you know, it's kind of like, I actually didn't think about it, but it's every decade, you know, has this little, those are the people for me in every decade.
Things like branch off and everything. Totally. And like,
I used to be super into like Slipknot too, which is right the next decade. You know what I mean? With
a little bit of that new metal.
Yeah, man. 100%. Like, I used to,
you were huge on new metal as well?
Not new metal, but Slipknot.
Slipknot?
The first two Slipknot albums, me and my buddy used to really play those a lot. It just,
that was like Dawson era, right?
Dawson era. Yeah. Dawson era was a lot of how everyone met.
I didn't know who Slipknot was until I met you. I was like, what the fuck?
And you were like heavy on it during heavy Dawson. Yeah. Like when you were at Dawson and everything.
Yeah,
like
the only hip hop I bumped back then was like Biggie and shit.
Yeah.
Like very old school 90s shit. And was not super aware of the new stuff going on.
Honestly, like that era of new stuff is not my favorite era of hip hop. Like the 50 Cent, like Big Chain gangster rap hip hop.
Oh, true.
Like,
no, early 2000s? At that age, when I was 15, 16, it would probably be maybe a little older, actually. You're right.
Was it like, was it like 07, 08, like around that era?
Yeah, like when fucking like Akon was
a
thing.
Like, I fuck with Akon though.
07. No, I'm just saying, like, that's not my favorite. Like, I like newer like hip hop stuff.
And totally.
Obviously, there's gems. Yeah. Like, Outkast, there's so many people who are amazing.
But like the X Tentacion shit, like fucking all that wave of shit.
That new stuff.
That's when it like clicked for me. I was like, this is the same as punk. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, man. Music's hit different the next decade. The early 2000s had the 2000s had a great start with the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Just multiple, like just such great artists and great albums and like songs came out around that time. But then it started slowing down around like 06
totally
to like 2010 and totally. Then that's when 2010 is when you start
like
getting
when you start getting like Tyler the Creator and shit.
Yeah,
and
Drake exactly.
Start
like Earl.
Shit. Yeah, exactly. Earl. Yeah. Like,
dude, that's what's
and
up.
Then that started like
streetwear shit. Yeah. Like, that's literally you can credit them for Supreme, all that dude. Shit. Like, that
was the same time. Yeah.
Yo, Supreme owes Odd Future a check.
Fat check. Fat check.
Yeah, they need to deliver. They need to give. They need to give Earl a check. Like, deliver one to his like Brooklyn apartment, like for real. Like, this is
deliver it to Earl's mom.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's ridiculous. But
yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, I miss that era. What a great fucking era. You know what I mean? Like, with X and everything. Has X and like you mentioned Trippie before. Like, is that when you started? Like, I know you're a pretty big like Suicide Boys fan and
super
everything.
Big, yeah.
Like, was that when you started reconnecting with hip hop again?
Yeah, actually, 100%. Mm. Totally. I started reconnecting with hip-hop because I felt like it was...
Yeah.
It's always had a huge platform.
Yeah.
But now it just became... I don't even know the words, man. It had just become this huge, inclusive thing.
Yeah.
Diversified a la max, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there was like 50 new genres birthed overnight.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was amazing, you know, discovering all this new shit. And like, it takes you, for me, it took me a second. Like, not every artist that I listen to every day now, at first, the first listen, I was like, sometimes it threw me off, you know what I mean?
Right.
I was very into punk and I was very into old school stuff.
And what was it like hearing like your first like hip hop artist that kind of incorporated
like
elements of like punk, pop punk?
Blew my
mind.
Yeah. Literally, I think the first artist was my brother. He came up to me and this is when Depp Wine was a thing. So it's early, like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And he's playing me an X song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like, yo, you guys should start doing stuff like this. Like, this is exactly like Depp Wine. And I was like, what do you mean? And he played it. And I was like, fuck. This shit is so hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
it
I don't know. It really changed my mind. It was cool.
For sure.
It was a cool moment.
God, what a beautiful time, man.
Yeah. Because I knew you when there was a time where you were like metal music like that or die. Like,
I've always been a Black Sabbath till I die.
Of course. Yeah, but you weren't on that tip yet.
No, for sure not.
I mean, I feel like those kind of things like take time, right? Like, I remember for me, I was just all just hip hop. That's it.
For sure.
That's it. Like, I'm listening to nothing else. But like, I really became huge into R&B to the point where I just, like, listen to way more R&B than I do rap music now. But
it's true. Yeah. Kind of R&B blue.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. I had a moment recently.
Yeah. No, that's all I've been playing at home and blasting at home.
Hell yeah.
But, like, to get back to the clothing side of things, right?
Sure.
Like, how did clothing influences grow on you? And, like, when was the moment in time where you kind of decided, oh shit, like, I want to start designing things. Like, I want to create things for other people to wear and to be a part of this identity that I want to carve out, you know?
So, like, how did clothing start for me personally, and then how did it evolve into becoming a brand?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how did it start personally for you, and then how did you, like, decide, like, you know, I want to do this one day?
Totally. That's a really good question. Honestly, I think it was very, and I'm being really honest, it wasn't, like, a conscious thing at first.
For sure.
And it was something I started doing, like, randomly taking inspiration from, like, old school punk shit, obviously.
For sure.
And then, you know, you start, like, dressing differently, and it gives you this different sense, this different feeling.
Right.
And then it just, I got what I was doing, and I just kind of went hard with it.
And you just fell into it.
You know, and this is before the brand, before any of that. And I was pretty, not anti-brand, but I didn't really wear brands.
Right, you know?
Like, I wore Levi jeans
and,
like, a random t-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
I guess it became important for me to dress the way I wanted to dress every day, just because it made me feel better.
Yeah.
You know, and it made me just feel better. So was an aspect that, like, I kind of only started understanding later on, like, years after I had been dressing that way, being like, oh, there's something kind of powerful about that, you know?
Right.
And it didn't click to me at first, you know what I mean? And then when Grimy kind of started going more intensely and snowballing, I mean, from day one, we had the Barney t-shirt, but I didn't think of it as, like, fashion. It was just, like, making a sick t-shirt, you know what I mean? A sick piece of art. And those t-shirts did well, and I was like, you know what? People always wear t-shirts. When you wear a t-shirt, you kind of feel like you're a part of something. You're repping something. And then it kind of just naturally came to where it is now.
For sure.
Yeah. I find, like, so many, like, genres are ingrained with their look. You know what I mean? Like, punk is, like, you know, you got the leather jacket and some jeans. You can see a punk kid from a mile away.
For sure.
And you can see, it, like, a hip-hop head from a mile away.
For sure.
And, like, there is an intrinsic, like, meld and mix of, like, clothing and music.
Right.
And it always has been.
Yeah, it's culture.
It's culture, exactly. Absolutely.
Culture is not just music. I mean, you could listen to music and not dress that way. That's fine.
Right, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But, like,
if you want to live it, fully embody the whole thing, you know, it helps. It's kind of interesting how pop music or whatever, but I'm not.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting how all that kind of, like, permeates through mainstream culture as well.
True.
Like, I mean, look at the fucking Metallica shirts that, like, became huge.
Yeah, they used to piss me off a lot. Back in the day. I'm sure. I've gotten over it now.
It,
like, what are you gonna do? Yeah.
Like, probably around, like, what, 2011, 2012.
Yeah,
like,
where they were selling them in, like, H&M and stuff.
Yeah. Thrasher shirts too. Yeah.
It was like
fucking
every
skaters
day.
Went off on that when like.
Well, I remember
Bieber wore like a Thrasher shirt.
I remember being in high school, like, you know, and I'm not proud of this now, but I remember being in high school, like, all these girls rocking, like, Metallica shirts with, like, a slight rip.
Yeah.
And, like, it just pissed me off. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, you don't, like, not listening to the music, you know? It just pissed me off.
Yeah, no, I find that, like,
there's also, I mean, I feel like there's also a bit of an assumption there of just, like,
because, but then you talk to the person and they're like, no, I actually don't know what this band is.
Right.
But then once in a while you'll speak
to
somebody.
Once in a while you're
like,
yeah, okay, they're like rocking their dad's vintage Metallica shirt.
And that's why you got to have the conversation, right? You can't just judge someone right off the bat.
Now, I remember I still have this Goodwood chain of, like, Wu-Tang, like the Wu-Tang logo. And, like, I remember this guy, like, when I was buying it, like, the store person was like, because I was, when I copped it, I was like maybe 14, 15 around that time. So imagine, like, a 14, 15 year old, like, I think I was, like, I pulled up with, like, my private school uniform and shit, and, like, in the store, I was, like, eyeing it for a long time, and I was, like, yeah, like, actually, could I buy this?
Yeah, for sure.
And then, like, as he's, like, checking out the, like, scanning the chain or whatever, he was, like, so, who's your favorite Wu-Tang member? And I was, like, oh, like, my favorite's definitely Raekwon, second favorite, Ghostface. And he was, like, oh, okay. You know what you're talking about.
You're not throwing ODB in there?
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, man.
Let's run it. Top three Wu-Tang members right now.
Method Man is third. Method Man is third.
All right, I agree. I'm throwing Method Man second.
Yeah.
RZA top just because he has the brains, and I cannot deny the respect for him.
Yeah.
Method Man second, third ODB. And I want to throw ODB on top, but just because RZA is the brain and
I'm not going to lie, like Ghostface is in the top three for me.
Yeah, Ghostface too, bro. If we had to do a top three. Yeah,
they are so good, though, individually. And it pains me that.
Fucking Wu-Tang. Like,
all of them have a gun to your head. Yeah. Who's the top three?
No, it pains me because it's like, man, ODB and RZA aren't in my top three. Like, Inspector Deck is incredible.
True. But some of my favorite and all the members Meth and Red crazy. Stuff yeah. is yeah. their own out, their own duo albums. You know, like the Meth and Red stuff.
Tikal,
dog. Yeah. The Meth and Red.
There's so many good individuals. One of my favorite albums, Liquid Swords.
That album is crazy. I was about to say song, but that song is like insane. But that project,
insane.
Oh my god.
I remember my buddy showing me that album, and I was freaking out. I was like, this is crazy,
man. And like
crazy
the amount of legendary material that came out like through solo albums, like Only Built for Cuban Links, for example, like Liquid Sword, like it's nuts. It's not fair. It's really not fair how all these talented people were just part of this one group. It was like they were like Voltron.
It is fair though. They put it together. They form like Voltron exactly, and they just they're fucking geniuses. Yeah.
They are. Period. They are. Hey,
Liquid Swords drop?
I have no idea.
We have it right here.
Let's see. Let's forget. 95.
95. Yeah, I was gonna say 94.
What a year for album releases.
Yeah, man.
What a
Kurt
year.
Cobain dies in 94, and then hip hop takes over.
Kurt Cobain. Oh man, he might have been the Illuminati sacrifice.
Yo, imagine if he stayed alive and then like switched into hip hop.
Oh man. rest in peace, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, rest in peace, Kurt Cobain. I mean, I'm sure somebody has like done a mashup of
100%,
and like Kurt Cobain, you know.
Well, that's what was interesting too about the new trap scene, right? Mm-hmm. They were super fucking influenced by Kurt Cobain's look, Kurt Cobain's everything, you know. Yeah. And I think it's because a lot of drugs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everyone was doing a fuck ton of drugs, similar drugs.
Yeah.
Depression.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talking about it in your music.
Yeah.
It's okay to be emotional and to talk about in your music. For sure. It's a huge influence, man.
Definitely. And
it's fucking cool.
You know, it's really interesting to see, right? Like how earlier we were saying that all these looks are so tied in with the music, but it just bled over into hip hop as well.
Yeah.
Like heavily.
Because that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the look carried through with the message.
Yeah. And it's
interesting.
It's really interesting and like to see how people identify with it and like how their identities are so tied with it.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's crazy. Like, man, it was mad funny though. Like my brother always got so pissed when like people were wearing like Metallica tees and shit.
Like, why is he like a diehard rocker?
Yeah. I mean he was. Like now he's like way more chill. Actually he's like
he's way more chill.
Way more chill. No, he
see like actually, let's talk about that for a split sec because I found that too. Like I used to be a diehard fucking punk fanatic, right?
Yeah.
And I think I've said this story way too many times, but like,
no, it's all good. It's all
there's
good.
This little Share underground venue in Montreal in St. Henry, and I'm not gonna say the name, but you go, like, you're supposed to know where to go. It's very underground.
For sure.
So, like, back in the day when our band was playing, I think we were playing that night. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to wear the leather jacket and all that. My buddy didn't, you know? And I think there was some guy with like face tats and all the leather shit, all of that. And he was giving him shit for like being there. And I had to step in and be like, yo, like, you have no clue what you're talking about. This dude plays drums in the hardest band that you even can conceive of. And you're sitting here judging him based on his look. Like, that's not what punk is about.
Right.
It really pissed me off, you know?
I mean, that's
so that whole, it's a real thing, man, with metal and with punk. It's like, are you metal enough? Are you punk enough? And it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, we're in 2020. You got to think a little bit bigger.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Things affect people in different ways.
Exactly. Not everybody has to like, you know, be subscribed to like the, I don't want to say the uniform, but like the look,
100%.
The look of it, you know, like I remember, God, like I remember in high school, I used to be that like obnoxious kid about like hip hop all the time being like, oh, these people don't listen to enough of it, like whatever. Like you don't actually, but I think it's like at that time, right? And like in some people just feel this ownership of the music And especially I get it, for man. Music that like millions of people listen to for around
sure.
the world.
For sure.
And then it's like, it's weird.
It is weird.
I think it's because like we strongly identify with it so much, then that kind of
totally
gets, that kind of turns into ownership.
Totally.
In a way. Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, because once you make something yours, right? Yeah. Like once it's like, I am Pong, this is it, like
exactly.
It's hard to let anyone else into that club that doesn't match your
totally. Prescribed. But on the flip, it like it is annoying, like when you could tell somebody has no ties to the culture and they're dressed up in like the full uniform. That's a different thing. You know what I mean? It's okay to have whatever, like everyone could be into whatever they want to be into, but don't like claim to that's be like, fully a part of something. It's poser shit.
Exactly. I mean, I'm gonna while we're airing grievances, I'm just gonna air some grievances right now. I remember motherfuckers in high school, like
I remember motherfuckers in high school.
I'm looking at you motherfuckers. For real though, like I remember in high school, like people would like,
so you know what, let's start 10-year-old beef up again.
Let's start up right now. Let's go.
Everybody come to Montreal. Pull up.
Here's my address.
Square up. Let me know. I'm working from home every day. Square up. No, I remember motherfuckers would like talk shit about hip hop music and like they'd be like, oh, like why are you listening to this? Like why are you trying to be black? Blah blah blah.
Right.
And now, if you look at everything that they're listening to, all the mainstream hip hop shit. Like it's wild how that kind of happens.
100%.
But I mean, you know what? Like people grow. People's tastes evolve.
Hip hop became the new rock and roll.
Exactly.
Everyone could love hip hop, man. You just gotta pay respects to the fucking founding fathers of it. You know, and to the history of it.
Absolutely.
Like, and if you don't, and you think that you're just gonna swipe that whole history and just tap in right now, that's annoying.
Yeah,
and I get that for people who are fucking black, who have been a part of it for a long, long, long time, and they're just like, you know, it's their culture. You know,
and
everyone could love music.
And then have like a kid. Like named Jimmy, who's like NLE Choppa is the greatest rapper of all time.
But even that's fine. Like like you could like music, you can listen to a song and be like, this is sick. But if you like it, then like go on your computer, look up that artist, look up where he's from, do that little extra bit of work.
Yeah,
you know what
sure,
I mean?
For sure.
Because you would do it for any other artist.
Yeah, as you should. I mean, I think they're just with music. There just needs to be like a level of respect. That you need
just
to have.
Respect.
I mean, don't want to gatekeep too much.
We've
moved past that point, but I think you know,
just gotta pay respect. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pay respect and move on to a new chapter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Because we're in a new chapter. Shit's not the way it used to be,
and it will never be.
No,
it will never
and
be.
It, you're right.
Yeah,
shit evolves for a reason.
Never that. Yo, if like it was the '80s for like 40 years or some shit, like I'd be so fucking upset. You know what I'm saying? Like that'd be so whack. Like. We'd be living in like a whole 80s future and shit.
Or like, but, I don't know, this made me think of like Back to the Future when like
he goes in the future.
But like, I love what different time periods thought the future was going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
and then
50s,
you're actually
you got, like,
there.
Jetsons, what they thought they were the future was going to be like versus like, I don't know.
But I believe that, like, seriously, like, to go back on, because this is important, especially with whatever the fuck's going on right now, you know, like, you got to pay respect to what's been established and move on.
Yeah.
You know, not move on, but like see where you're at now.
Go from there. Exactly.
Even
exactly,
it goes back to what we're talking about with the punk stuff. Yeah. Like it can't be a random person head to toe fucking all punked out. And it's like their first day in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like learn what you're into.
Right.
Like do your fucking research and pay respect and like do your thing. You know, find your lane in it.
Yeah.
Everybody has a place in everything.
In
you know, just find where you fit.
Single thing. Yeah, exactly. And that's super important, right? Like, and you know what? It's like, and that's what I love about Grimy too, because it feels like it's paying respect to the previous cultures and just like the previous influences while moving forward at the same time. And that's just a recipe of success. You know what I mean?
But what I like is like, you don't compromise on aesthetic.
Never.
Like, you're like, you can fuck with something, but it's just not grimy.
100%.
Like, I love what you're doing, but like, it's not gonna fit in this.
For sure. Like, we know what our aesthetic is. We know what our mentality is. Yeah. Everybody in the collective knows what's up. You know.
Yeah.
And it's hard, man. People like it's hard living just as a human being. Besides the music, besides the art, besides the brand, it's hard being a fucking human being, especially now.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially now. Yeah.
Especially now, man.
God.
So just people are keeping their heads up. People are sticking together. That's what's important. keeping the community alive, you know, trying your best. People are low on energy right now. You know, it's a tough time.
Yeah.
You just got to like, you got to figure it out for yourself.
For sure.
You know, you got to take the time to look into yourself and fucking figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
It's important.
Now, how important is empathy and in kind of like maintaining this community and like this level of understanding? Like, have you always been empathetic towards other people, or did that take some time to like realize, oh
no,
shit, people are out here and they're different from me?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I definitely did not used to be empathetic.
Yeah.
When I was a little bit younger, 16, 17, 18, whatever, I was a little bit more aggressive, you know? Yeah,
for sure.
And then, which helped me at the time, it helped me figure out what I was going through then.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I got older, I had to get into this new chapter.
Yeah.
And that new chapter was harder because I didn't want to be aggressive. I didn't want to have all these different things.
Right.
So you learn to adapt and you learn to change. And that was a huge learning step for me.
Right.
But a difficult one, right? Because you're constantly having to monitor yourself and, you know, be on your best behavior, you know, the way you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, definitely my mentality changed. And now, I mean, I try to, you said empathetic.
Yeah, empathetic.
I would say I'm very empathetic.
Yeah, I would say that too. And man, I wouldn't have guessed that you were like, you were that angry and just, you know,
for sure,
not necessarily understanding, because like, just knowing you for like the short period I've known you, you're just like one empathetic ass motherfucker. And I think that's like, that really helps with fostering the community.
I totally agree, man.
So yeah, I mean, that's fucking huge.
Yeah. Like, it's an important trait, I guess, that you got to develop, because not everybody has it right off the bat. I didn't. God,
You know?
Especially when you're young, you're angry about a lot of things, depending on your circumstance.
Yeah.
Everybody has different circumstances.
Right.
People see other people's circumstances as better than their own. But they don't understand other people's perspectives.
Right. It's fucking hard
complicated.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to when you've only lived life for a short period of time, right?
Like, and especially when you feel like you've done a lot in that short period of time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People perceive you in a certain way, and you perceive yourself in a certain way, and you get lost, but you just gotta reel back into yourself, you know?
For sure. And like, it's really, let's say 13, 14 year old you believe the person that you turn into today. You know, what would that version of you?
That's too deep. Hey,
we're gonna get into it. We're gonna get into it.
Chug your beer.
You know what I'm saying?
Start the tears.
Hey, there you go. Hey, what would 13?
We're gonna put that on a shirt. Chug your beers. Start the tears.
That is good.
Just be
that
me, like bawling my eyes out of the beer.
Yeah, bro.
Just like a utterly like morphed version of you, just like
the small face. Like, let's get working on that.
I think 12, 13 year old me would be obviously very proud of where I'm at now.
Yeah.
But you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
Life is tough.
Yeah.
People think you have it all figured out when you hit a certain thing. And I talk to other people who are way above my plateau.
Yeah.
And they say the same shit, man. Yeah. They're like, I'm still struggling. I'm still working it out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just you hit this one thing and the money's in and you're golden and everything is good.
Yeah.
Like, it may appear that way, but it's not. There's so much work that goes into the grimy stuff. You know, personally, I put a lot of work into it, you know, like I work hours and hours on it, and just mentally as well. Like, you're committed, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what the question was, but
How 12, 13 year old you would react to you. I mean, you said he would be proud. And you know that, and that's the thing about
my fist. He'd be like,
no, and you're totally right about that, because it's like, progression isn't linear, and just because you hit a milestone doesn't mean things are solved.
Totally,
like internal things are solved. Like, a lot of times we do when we're just like, oh, I finally did this, but then oftentimes it's like, now what? Especially if you've always had that feeling of like, Well, now what? Like, what do I do?
The truth is that there's so many plateaus.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
you only get when you get a little bit older. Because when I was in the 16, 17 year old mentality, my band was popping, blah, blah, grinding, starting. Right. It's like, oh, that's it. You're solidified. Yeah. But that's step one.
Yeah.
It's good to be good in your city and everyone knows your band, whatever, in your city. Then there's like step two, there's step three, there's step four. Right. There's so many other steps.
Right.
And there's plateaus, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's,
absolutely.
It's like an elevator and you get to different spots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're never solidified. You're never, but, like,
you know, each stop you have it's not like there's only one option to go up to either.
100%.
Each one opens. Definitely.
You got to keep an open mind at all times. Yeah. But I'm saying generally you evolve towards your goal.
Yeah.
I think if you're doing it right.
I think the camera's going to turn off soon.
Camera is going to turn off.
Five, four, three, two, one.
We're going to come back like right away.
Did stop. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Oh, it didn't. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Man, getting back into it. So, yes. Where's the next like plateau for Grimy?
Whew.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is something I was going to ask. I don't want to, like, totally cut you off. Okay, so, like, go ahead. I know you don't want to, like, talk about stuff that isn't materialized yet, but...
Yeah, I don't like talking
bullshit. I know. Yeah. And this is... But I think this is might possibly appropriate because it seems potentially very far off. Right. And
yeah.
I don't want to say pipe dream, but, like, something that's... Is there a Grimy Fest in the future?
Oh, yeah. It's called Grime Fest.
Grime Fest. Okay. Yeah. It's been thought of.
It was potentially going to happen this summer. COVID know? 100%. Yeah.
But it's going to... like, because that's like... bring the people together.
100%. You know? And especially like, all these venues have closed down because of COVID.
Right. Yeah.
It's really fucked up in the scene, you know? And it's going to take a second to rebuild. But like I said, the key players who have been doing it for a while, I think... if those are smart ones, we'll band together and do some shit, man. There's gonna be some cool stuff
for sure. I think the city's gonna like rebound
hard. We're gonna bounce back harder than ever. Montreal was on a come up before all this stuff.
And I think you see the, like with the energy that's going on right now, like Occupy the Hood is still
totally, man,
is still going strong, man. Like
shout out Occupy the Hood.
Moonshine is like still
shout out Moonshine,
hosting really cool parties as well, cool hell live streams. Like people are really, really doing it out here in this.
Shout out Moonshine, like, actually. They do a lot of good work. Yeah. I mean, I know the dude who does it, he's a fucking good dude and he works hard, man. Shout out him.
Shouts out to all y'all, man. You guys are doing amazing.
Keeping this city alive right now, it's
tough.
It's tough work, man.
Hey, imagine if you
was going, I was in the plateau last night and like
walking up Saint Laurent, you feel it. You know,
yeah, man. There's one of the still stores people who are dying to go do something, you know?
Yeah, like,
we're cooped up for 6 months.
Totally.
Now.
Shout out Skull Central. They closed down their Saint Laurent location. They have another location in somewhere else in Canada. Mm-hmm. They're doing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you gotta adapt. Period.
Absolutely.
So much stuff's closing on Saint Laurent and stuff. And
it's crazy. Shit. Like,
it'll bounce back though. I have faith, man.
Yeah. I think so too. I think so too. Yeah, I think it most definitely will. It's just really unfortunate for the people that own venues, you know, like event promoters, like
any people that. who are fucked up.
It's all fucked up, and you know, I feel blessed that I didn't go down the event like path completely. I was like thinking like, because when I wanted to work in music, I was thinking like, oh man, I want to do like music events and shit, potentially. Like I think that'll help me become an A&R down the line.
For sure.
But in a way, like I'm just thankful for how it like worked out, and like events, like promoters, venue owners, people that work in those spaces, like my thoughts and prayers are always with you guys like every fucking day, because it must be so fucking difficult.
The guys who work like music tours.
Every tour is
every tour is
trust
a mess.
Yeah, event promoter, like in March.
Oh my God.
Whoever comes out of this is going to be the real players.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know?
I think Evenko's like backed too hard by like major companies.
Evenko is backed by major companies.
Yeah, I think Evenko's going to be good. Like,
there's a few key players that are
like
backed
Bell
by
and shit.
Yeah.
Like Live Nation's going to be completely fine, but it's just like the
But that's what sucks, because all the small people who were doing the local stuff.
And then that's going to have the bigger companies. Yeah, they won't disappear. Exactly.
Grimy for life.
We're sticking around, baby.
Exactly.
Mark my words.
Yeah. No, you guys are going to go far, and like after all this, you're going to like fucking prosper.
Hell yeah,
man. I promise you. Like, I don't know. Like,
you just got to keep it real. Exactly. Like, no bullshit. Keep doing your thing. Like, it's tough times for everybody. Everybody's going through it.
Yeah.
No, not absolutely. One person on this planet is unaffected.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
every single fucking person. So, thoughts and prayers to every single one of y'all, you know what I'm saying? The whole world. But yeah, are there, why I want to ask, you know, like what the next plateau is for Grimy.
Oh yes.
Because, you know, the thing with this brand is I can easily see it going global and like it already has, but having it more so, like, you know, like having it get recognized in places like LA.
Oh, I can answer your question.
New York. Like, are there any markets that you want to?
I could totally answer your question. You know, I know,
like,
what you're asking.
Get in there. I wasn't like asking for future plans, but
for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, and this is still very early. Yeah. Like, we're focusing in on the artists that are from Montreal. Yeah. We're focusing on building our home base strong, like, you know, solid. Mm. But after that, I mean, I would like to build collectives in different cities. Yeah. So it'll be Grimy Toronto, Grimy LA.
Yeah.
And those are artists born in LA or born in Toronto, you know, that embody the same mentality.
Yeah.
And then the brand remains the brand.
Right.
You know? And we have pop-ups internationally.
Yeah.
And say we have our collective in LA. When we have a pop-up in LA, the artist from LA will play. And then maybe we'll fly down some guys from Toronto. Maybe we'll fly down some guys from Montreal, you know? So it just becomes this huge community of like-minded people, you know? So you're going to have to scout. We're going to have to find, like, the right people. But that would be a plan of expansion,
But then to be able to scale it to that extent and then to create this
totally doable
community,
though.
I think so.
Very doable.
I think so. Like, I think
there's enough grimy-ass motherfuckers out there around the world.
For real. For real. And it's going to be really interesting to see, right? Because each scene and, like, each scene is going to offer their own different sounds.
Totally.
Like, own different, like, twists and variations on all this. So, like, by scaling it to that, it's just you're going to touch way more markets and, you know, it's going to be amazing.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be fucking amazing. Hell yeah. So, man, this is great. This is great.
Wrapping it up.
Yeah, wrapping it up.
Good podcast.
Hey. Appreciate it, man. I actually do have one more question
for
you. You know what I'm saying? Like, for anyone that's out there that's young and in their like, you know, they don't have to be a teenager, but for, I guess, you know, age doesn't really matter in this instance, but anybody that's trying to start their own movement, their own collective, their own you know, their own brands, what, and they asked you, how do I do it?
I've had people
what
ask
would
me
you
that.
What would you answer in that instance? What would be the best advice you could give them in that scenario?
The best advice I could probably give would be think out your message first.
Yeah.
Focus on the idea and the message and the rest will come.
Yeah.
So if you have a solidified idea, and I'm talking about like a philosophical idea of what you want your brand or your collective or your band to be.
A North Star.
You know? Yeah. Just solidify your ideas and then execute. And you could do anything. You could genuinely do anything you fucking want.
Right.
You just gotta figure it out. You know what I mean? It's a hard path, but you just gotta keep going. Keep going. You find the right steps as you go. You make a couple mistakes. You make a lot of positive like mistakes, whatever. Yeah. You know, you just gotta keep going, man.
Take away something from it and then...
And you figure it out. You figure it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you gotta do it.
You gotta do it. Like, people talk a lot.
There is no try.
You gotta stop talking and just shut up. Do it.
I think that's, you like, know? A really important ethos to have. Just, like,
fail.
Dive in.
Do it, fail.
Fail, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I think like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are just scared to fail.
Totally.
But you just gotta, like you said, figure out the philosophy of it.
Totally.
And then execute.
Yeah, I believe a lot in having your philosophy down packed, you know? Know what you That's want, know what you important. Believe in, and then execute.
Yeah. Man, I completely agree with that, and, like, wow. I hope you creative-ass motherfuckers out there can benefit from that, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Pat, any last words
on
your
end?
Free grimy.
I'm dead.
No,
none of the Grammy artists are locked up. We're all straight now.
Let's close in on that real quick for the last little moment.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, anything you want to shout out before we wrap this all up? Like, anything that you guys got going on? Like,
man, shout out all of our artists in the community. Yeah. Shout out fucking, you know, it's grimy, man. Shout out everyone who's doing their own thing in the city, who's putting on for the city, who's genuine, who's not about fucking ego and bullshit.
Right.
I really don't like that personally. Right. But, you know, everybody is doing their thing. And like I said, the key players, the people who are genuine, who are not about bullshit, will come up on top.
Absolutely.
Because hopefully that's how it works out in this world. You know, you never really know. It's kind of a fucked up world. It's a grimy world. But you figured that shit out, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And there it is.
Let's wrap it up. Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. I mean, you want to show your stickers?
I want to see the tat. I want to see the tat.
And oh,
the
new yeah.
One. Should I show the camera? Damn, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
The new one.
I got it yesterday.
Oh, shit. Yeah, let's zoom in on that's that. Clean. Yeah. Let's get the camera in on it. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's sick, yeah, man.
11 tattoo.
Hey, shouts out to them. Shouts out to Grimy.
Shouts out to everybody.
Yeah, shouts out to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Check out Grimy's website. Where can they find you on socials?
So social media is all GrimyMTL.
Yeah. At GrimyMTL.
The store is grimy.store, just
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And GrimyMTL.com is the main website. You'll find everything there.
Yeah, let's go.
And the new capsule, Stay Away, it should be dropping this month. Yeah, we're okay. July 5th. It's going to be dropping this month.
Okay.
Sweet.
Let's go. So, yeah, keep an eye out. Keep it on the lookout.
All sales online?
All sales online. We're working on the crazy pop-up idea. Keep your eyes out because it's gonna, we're working around COVID.
Right.
Mm.
It's going to be, okay. If we execute it, it's going to be a real good time.
Oh, man.
That's keep an eye out.
That's going to be phenomenal. Keep an eye out.
Love it.
Hey, yeah, now. Great to have all you guys. This has been, the sixth or seventh episode of the Interlude Interviews?
I don't
fucking know.
I think seven.
Like
it was six. Fuck six. Yeah, skip it.
Fuck six. Fuck 12.
God is seven. God is seven.
Exactly. Hey, tentatively, this is the seventh episode of the Interlude Interviews off of Naoto's Interlude podcast.
Hell yeah.
So yeah. Signing out.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Yeah. Subscribe.
Get on that, okay?
Hey, like, comment, share. Like, comment, share. All that good shit.
All that good stuff.
All of it. So, take
stay
care.
Safe. Stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe out there. Peace.
Peace.
Oh, man.
That was dope.
Oh, man.